Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. Actually, welcome to Michigan. It's not. It's like 55 degrees.
Cold day today.
Cold, sunny Michigan.
The cold feels colder in this time of year.
Yeah, it was raining yesterday, and which we really need rain.
We really need this.
We really needed the rain. But I stepped outside to move my like plants. You know where you move them out to get the rain?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah, well, that's when you have enough plants.
Yeah.
That you have to move them.
And it felt like fall.
Yeah, I was like,
this is weird. It's not, it didn't feel like spring, which it should just feel, but it felt like, oh, summer's over.
Imagine if that's how short summer was.
Oh my God, that would be so sad.
It would be horrible. Also, I was sweating my face off at my wedding on Saturday. So it was like a shock to my system. Yeah. Okay, so we are still, this is your first time listening, strange episode to choose. I would recommend going back and starting from the beginning. We deep dive all episodes of Grey's Anatomy. We finished season 18 and we're going to start season 19 sometime soon. But in the meantime, we're just covering some other news topics and or whatever we want. Today, though, we do have a Grey's Anatomy topic.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about the Ellen Pompeo, Katherine Heigl Actors on Actors Variety video interview, which you, if you haven't listened to it, I would recommend listening to it before because we're not going to recap everything.
No.
We're just going to talk about the parts that stood out to us. So it's on YouTube. It's like 55 minutes long. You can minimize your YouTube and treat it like a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend watching all of them. They're all really fun, but this was a shock.
Yeah. When you said Katherine Heigl, we could also call her Katie.
Yeah, that's what Ellen calls her.
Which is very weird.
We will get into.
Yeah.
Really quick, too, in order to support the podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. We do bonus episodes. We do Zoom hangouts. We have a private Facebook group. You get the podcast a day early if you're a patron. It's just really great, and it's a way to support us. So, also, to those of you that do still, especially during this odd time, thank you.
Thank you so much. I think we got to stop putting ourselves down, you know, during this odd time. I think some people actually like this type of content.
I like these episodes.
Yeah, they're fun to do. I just noticed that you have candles burning, which
three. Because I cleaned.
Because you cleaned. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. Like, there are some surfaces I didn't get to.
But it looks really nice in here. Listeners, I just took a shower at Abby's house.
John also showered at my house this morning.
Yeah, because we are redoing our bathroom. And by redoing it, I mean giving it a facelift. Yeah, we're not getting like new, what do you call those? Not appliances.
Not appliances.
New.
Tubs.
We're not getting new tubs.
No tubs.
But we had this really awful, it all started really because we had this awful mosaic.
Yeah, did someone make it?
I don't know. And when we were painting it, so there, it's all these colors and it's just like square, like mosaic. It's not in the design of
anything. It's not like a mirror. It's not like the mirror has a frame that is a mosaic. It's like they mosaiced onto the wall.
Yeah, onto
the wall.
Instead
of tiling.
Exactly. And just half of it.
Uh-huh.
And the bottom half is different tile.
Yes.
And it was like deep reds and blues and red, like a lot of really primary colors. So it was hard to make anything really match in there. And then the walls were like a deep tan almost. And so I was like, That's it. I had asked John if we could try and take the mosaic down. He's like, I don't know, because if we do that, what's behind it? And then all of a sudden we're thousands of dollars in of like a demo project. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to search how to paint tile. And we did it. And so now it just kind of looks like a textured wall, but it matches. We did like a creamy cotton white which goes with our other tile. And then I'm getting a new over the toilet thing. We're getting a new like storage.
Is it
going to
hang or is it going to be self-standing?
Self-standing from West Elm. And it's too expensive. But John, I gave John three options. The Target version that had like awful reviews, but was the cheapest. The mid-range one that had better reviews, but was from Wayfair. And he hates Wayfair.
Oh.
Putting shit together from Wayfair is a pain in the ass. Or the like most expensive option, nicest quality. And he chose the most expensive one.
Did you look at any that aren't standing that just hang above?
Yeah.
Because there's so many of those.
Yeah.
I was overwhelmed.
I couldn't really find what I wanted. Okay. And if we were to do that, I wanted him to hang three floating shelves, and he does not want to do that.
Well, he never hung those shelves in your living
room. I know.
So I understand.
Anyway, the point of all of this is why I showered, because we painted everything yesterday, and then John was like, oh, shit, we can't shower for at least 24 hours. It will, like, fuck the moisture will. And I was like, well, can't we just, like, kind of do a little spritz with our...
Yeah, we definitely showered in our shower less than 24 hours after they painted.
Well, you know how John goes.
Yeah, he's a rule follower.
He's a rule follower. So then it was late, and I knew you were watching the Tonys.
I fell asleep.
Yeah, and I thought you might have. And I was like, because he was like, how am I going to go to work tomorrow? I was like, I'll text Abby, see if you can come over and shower. She didn't respond. And then I was like, I don't know what you're going to do.
Was he dirty?
Or like, we were dripping sweat.
Oh, okay.
Because we couldn't even, and this is so gross. I mean, we changed our clothes and stuff, and I used like
shower afterwards.
I know. I use like wipes on my body.
Yeah.
But like, there's no way he could have gone. He smelled so bad.
That's what I wondered. Because I was like, I know John is very particular. He irons his shirts. He's got good dress clothes. He's got good style. I was like, I could do something. I could put myself together, but I didn't think about the like paint and sweat aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he showed up. Well, I woke up at 7 something and I saw my phone and I was like, shit. And so I quick texted you. I figured you were sleeping. Texted John and he was like, yes. Like immediately texted back. So Jake had already gone to work. I was like, you have 45 minutes before I leave, but like you can stay, whatever. He showed up with like standing like the door with his little backpack. And I told Jake, I was like, if you see on the Ring camera, John coming over at right after you leave for work. I was like, we are not having an affair. He was using the shower. And Jake's response was like, that's fine. John's a nice guy. He's just like, you do you.
Oh.
So.
Yeah. So then I came over this afternoon after doing a second coat.
Can't believe you did a second coat all by yourself.
All by myself. I listened to some podcasts. I listened to the Conan O'Brien podcast.
Uh-huh. Which one? Which episode?
The new one that came out with Clara Danes.
Great. Love her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch Fleischman, whatever, though.
I haven't either.
So I was like, shit, I'm not going to know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Which is always, because I listened to Bill Hader, too, yesterday while I was painting.
And you haven't watched Barry?
Uh-huh. I haven't watched the last season yet. So I was kind of like, shit, why am I doing this? But yeah,
it's fine.
And then I was like, whatever.
I love Claire Danes. It makes me miss Homeland.
Homeland, I know.
That was such a moment in time for me.
I know. Also, I feel like my neck is killing me. I am falling apart, listeners.
She's falling apart. But you're going to feel better once you can take that paint off your back, or the tape.
Oh yeah, because that's the thing, is
it looks like shit.
Yeah, John and I were talking about that last night. We're like, we think we like it, but god, does it look like shit. And then you take he's like, I always forget, when you take the paint off it looks a lot better. But also I missed a huge splotch of paint on my arm, and so there it will stay.
It's always kind of a badge of honor, be like, yeah, I painted
today, and there it's kind of on my hand.
I hate painting. We hired someone to do this.
Yeah, we have. You know, I might need to talk to that person, because we want to paint our like upper,
that's
like
too
up
much.
The stairs.
Too much.
Yeah. And I was like, John, we got to hire someone to do this. Weren't like long rollers and stuff.
Yeah. No.
No.
Scaffolding.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't know if this guy does scaffolding.
I mean, I don't think you'd need a scaffold. I think
it feels tall.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were watching the Tonys last night. I was just going to go to bed and I recorded it or on like YouTube TV or whatever. And then Jake's like, you can watch it in bed. Like, I don't mind. And I was like, okay. But I was watching it very quiet, but it was great. I'm so glad Kimberly Akimbo sweeped.
That's great.
Feeling good about it. Feel excited that I saw it before ticket prices.
Soar.
And I feel like an early adapter. So watching the Tonys was fun. It's one of my favorite award shows. I always find that the speeches are incredibly heartfelt. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like Broadway performers are better at being like on the cuff.
They have things to say.
Yeah, and it was all very beautiful things. So I was really excited about it. It was fun to watch. And I don't know. I don't have much to report about it. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, you had mentioned like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And then I was like, we're painting. And then later that night, because you said the Tonys are on. And then later that night, you're like, I'm watching the Tonys. And I was like, I literally forgot. Within hours.
I don't feel like you've watched them in the last few years.
I don't think I have either. It's because we don't. The Tonys are great to me. Yeah. But the Oscars are where I really thrive.
For sure.
Yeah. And we don't have cable. Like, you have YouTube TV.
Right.
Where I, like, make John find a way for the Oscars. Yeah. And we were just really busy last night. That's
great.
You know, it's good.
I fell asleep quite early. I'm tired. I was in Ohio.
Ohio?
This weekend. Very far away, it felt like. Jake and I had a great time at the Columbus Zoo, though. We, like, saw some friends in Columbus before I worked my wedding. And the zoo was great.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
11,000 steps.
Fed a giraffe.
Jake paid $15.
Oh, it was $15.
We got to feed them 6 pieces each of lettuce.
Oh, but it was fun.
It still lasted like 15 seconds because that giraffe was like, okay, next. But that was fun. We took photos in a photo booth. I ate a funnel cake.
Oh, jealous.
It felt like Disney World, but not, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just like being in a park like that. This one also has a water park. We didn't go to it. It was kind of cold. But great zoo. Like, good. I saw so many animals.
I feel like we should take a trip to, like, the Detroit Zoo or something.
Is that? I've never been to that one.
I haven't either, but it's got to be bigger than Grand Rapids.
Yeah, Grand Rapids is small, but quality, I feel.
Yeah, it's fine.
I grew up going to the Milwaukee Zoo, which was, it's very big. And so, like, every summer, my grandma would take us, we'd go to the zoo, we'd go to the Children's Museum, the Public Museum. It was like
IMAX.
No. Oh, like, I was in like, the summer, my God. I think we'd visit for like a week and we would like hit all of those places. And so I do remember the John Ball Zoo being a little bit of like a,
oh, that's like a letdown.
But
they recently, in the past couple years at least, I feel like they've revamped it. Like, we were kids, it was bad.
Yeah.
And then they got the tiger exhibit. That's really big.
Yeah.
And now they have hippos.
Ooh,
it's a new exhibit.
I saw manatees, which I really love. And it was like set up in this place where you could like see underwater, you know? And they had stingrays in there too. And that was just very exciting.
Oh, that is really.
But Jake was like, you murdered Steve Irwin. He just kept saying that whenever a stingray would go by, which is true.
Did I tell you about? So there was like this news article, like in the exhibit or whatever, the new hippo like killed another animal. Yeah. Like, I don't, but I was like doing something and my sister texted it. And my other sister was like, oh my God, that's awful. And then my other sister was like, circle of life. And I just could only briefly look. And I thought the article was saying a hippo killed a person. And I was like, why are my sisters being nonchalant about this? Like, a hippo just killed a person, but it was like an animal. Still sad, but.
I wonder what animal.
It was like a deer type thing.
Wow, something big.
Yeah, it was like big.
The gorillas really freaked me out at this exhibit because they are too much like us, or we are too much like them, whatever way you want to put it. There was one playing with one of those things that if you have kids, I'm sure you know, it's like those poppers. It's like you like push in the little rubber. Oh,
yeah, those like poppet things.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a sensory toy. They were just holding them and playing with them and doing it.
Why do they have sensory toys?
Because they need it. Their brains are too high functioning. And then this one came over with a cardboard box and just stood in front of these little kids and it was covering its ears, which made me sad. Aww. But I was like, we aren't being loud. Like, no one's screaming. Aww. And then I got freaked out. Gorillas are so big.
They are. And it's really sad. Like, zoos are cool, but it's also sad.
Well, most of them were... because I was feeling the same way. And then we were reading about each animal. Most of them were orphaned and rescued.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not like they're like pulled.
Sure.
Because I was like, why is this bear here? All the manatees were found injured.
Oh. So they like rehabilitate them. Sure.
But still, it's not a great life.
No.
Maybe it is.
I don't know. I feel always really sad for like the big cats that don't get to hunt.
They just taste.
Yeah. Like, that's really sad.
Yeah. Okay. Would you go? I told Jake that I would go to a zoo that was just all different breeds of dogs. And like, you could just check them out. You could play with them because they're dogs. They're domestic.
Yeah.
And they're, but like.
I would go to one.
Would you? That's McCoy crying.
Oh, he was like, don't you
Would
dare.
You go to the tripod exhibit where three-legged dogs?
Oh, absolutely.
Me too.
McCoy would be there.
His back leg is not doing very good.
Oh, no. Is he going to have to be in a little wheelchair?
I don't know, because there's no other, like, please don't move, McCoy. There's no.
Did I cough?
No. I looked at him. There's no other option, but it's been hurting him, I can tell. And I just don't know how you know.
Can you, Winter?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. He's eating and everything.
Can you give him?
He's already on so many meds.
I was going to say, like, pain meds.
He's on, like, doggy. I think if I gave him, like, a hydrocodone, which we do have, I mean, he'd be knocked out. He's on, like.
Then he wouldn't be living.
Wouldn't be living. So, I don't know. I'm just letting him sit on the couch with me.
Yeah. Oh, poor Bobby.
I know. Marge still screaming at you?
Yeah. Well, she ate the other day, and John was like, see, she's doing it again. I was like, yeah, because her fucking tooth hurts. Like, she's eating wet food. She'll also, we were like, oh my God. Remember how she got out?
Yeah.
I don't know if I told the podcast that, whatever. She got out and I found her in the neighbor's yard. I can't remember. But John and I were sitting on the back deck grilling. And so we were there and we were like, she's clearly not going to try anything while we're sitting here. And she waited a long time. No, the screen on the bottom is off. And so she slipped out like a little piece of flubber. And she just like, and then I was like, thank God I caught it out of the corner of my eye. And now we know that's how she does it. So we have to just get that like restapled or whatever. She never pushed the door open.
She doesn't want to live there anymore.
And she's ready to go. She is ready to go out in the wild. I think she just wanted to be with mom and dad on the deck. It was pretty out. There were birds.
Yeah. She would like that.
Yeah. But she can't because she'll run away and then she'll go.
Yeah. Oh, so sad. Would you go to a cat zoo?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Right. That's what I
mean. Big cats, little cats.
Do you feel like when you look at a big cat, do you equate it to like, wow, that's like my cat, but big?
I definitely would never be one of those people who like has
a
big,
hug a big cat.
Yeah. Or like has a big cat. Yeah, yeah. But I just have a lot of like,
you don't want to.
I was about to say I have a lot of respect for a big cat. A lot of respect.
I believe that.
What's your favorite big cat?
I always did book reports on snow leopards.
Oh, those are cool.
They didn't have one at this zoo.
Oh, I love leopards. I love leopard.
I love leopard. But leopards are different than cheetahs.
They are different, yes.
Cheetahs are so skinny.
Yeah, yep. And leopards
live in the... It's not a tiger.
Oh, leopards live like in the jungle.
Leopards are spotted.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Cheetahs are also spotted.
Yep, and they live in like the safari, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And they run really fast.
Jake and I were really bummed and mad at ourselves, but we'd been there like 5 hours and walked 11,000 steps. We saw every single part except Australia.
Oh.
Like, and we were like, we don't need to. Our feet hurt. Like, everything hurt. And I was like, no. But then as we were walking out, I was like, we should have saw it. Like, I can't believe that we like, because our friends were like, you can't see the whole zoo in one day. Like, you have to pick your parts.
Yeah.
So we started.
Oh, did your friends come?
No, but they'd been there. So we started doing that. And then I was like, we can see most of this.
We can see it all.
Jake was like, I don't want to see North America, which I get. It's like deer and stuff. But then we ended up having to walk through North America.
Oh, that's really, I want to go to this zoo.
Let's go.
Okay. I want to go to the zoo. Let's just
John
go
Ball
to...
has that like night lantern exhibit right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. My family just went to it.
So
without me. Just kidding. It was like they went with their children. So. But I would have liked to have been invited.
I understand that. Well, should we talk about Ellen and Katie?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you shocked when they announced that pairing?
Shocked?
Yeah. Maybe shocked isn't the right word.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe surprised of like, oh, I did not know that those two are willing to talk to each other. But then I think you and I had mentioned, I don't know that we've talked about it on the pod, that Ellen has recently like made amends or something with people that there's been gossip or rumored that she didn't like anymore. Patrick Dempsey. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, I think I was also like, I guess her leaving Grays is like a big TV moment, but like usually it's very big stars, and like I don't know that Firefly is that big of a hit on Netflix.
I think it is a really big
hit. Okay.
Yeah, I think people are like obsessed with it.
Okay.
I have not watched it. My sister finished it and loved it.
I think it's done now.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's like but they started the episode talking about Grey's Anatomy and memory. The vibe was so weird to me, which I don't think we can put on like tension or anything. I think that Ellen is just very awkward.
I would agree.
Like her, the way that they laughed at things that weren't funny. I'm talking about the overall vibe first, then I'll get into some specifics. Was so like
forced.
Yeah, like there was this, it felt like forced laughter.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I didn't think the story of Katherine Heigl being thought, so a fan thought that she was Izzy's mom. I did not think that was that funny. And they were like cackling.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I'm like, what an idiot fan. Izzy's mom is never really on the show, is she?
No, she is. Remember, she calls her.
She comes, but like she doesn't even look like it. Just
what does she
Firefly?
Call her? No, what does she call her?
I don't know.
Cricket.
Cricket. Yeah. I just like that when they were dying laughing over it. I was like, ladies,
ladies, ladies,
this is not funny.
I also overall vibe, and I think you'll get into this and have some things to say, but I felt like they were both like praising and lifting up Shonda Rhimes for what she created, but also kind of dissing on the show at the same time.
Absolutely.
And it was like, first of all, Ellen, you're not that far away from it. Like, you literally, like.
Right. And she's not done, we heard. Yeah. She also is going to be in season 20.
Yeah. And so, you know, I feel like Katherine Heigl maybe would have more room to be like, yeah, the show. Because even in the beginning, they were naming things like, oh, my God, there was like a lion. I don't know why. And I get it. She was on it for like 18 years or whatever. But anytime I feel like Ellen kind of talked about like a storyline or something, it was in this tone of like, we ran out of ideas. It was all bullshit. And I overstayed. And, you know,
she talked about network TV being not a great like place for creativity because you have to crank out so many episodes and there's like less flexibility, which I feel like is demeaning to the early seasons of the show, which I do think have brilliant writing.
Yeah.
And also, I just like, then why did you stay if you thought it was like inhibiting creativity so much? Also, it's crazy to me that I know a lot of actors don't watch their own work. Like, I think that's pretty common, but I thought it was interesting that Ellen didn't ever until she watched some of it with her daughter. It's amazing to me that characters can like remember what their character's been through to act it out if they're getting it in such small bits. I don't know.
Yeah. I also feel like two things. The part where, and she's talked about this on her podcast, I think with Kate Walsh, about the pick me, choose me, love me. And I think she said on the podcast too that like she hated that line. Why would she say like that? And I want to be like, you're not playing Ellen Pompeo.
Right.
You're playing Meredith Grey. And there is a person out there who would do that. Like,
right.
And especially early on in who Meredith Grey was, you know? And honestly, I think that is vulnerability for Meredith.
Yes. Asking for what she wants.
Yeah. Where she's like, oh, God, I'm like begging for this guy. And it's like,
that's not what it was.
No, it was like, choose me, like between the two of us. And I don't know. She said that twice now. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not playing yourself.
Well, that's the same with when she talked about how she felt towards the end that it was insane that like she still, after all these years, wouldn't have been able to like have a stable relationship, like the nick of it all. And she's like, I understand that in television there has to be conflict.
Yeah.
But she's like, but they should also grow. And I'm like, yeah, but it's also TV. Like, I think our friend Chris told me that the later seasons are like watching Grey's where they've all had too much therapy.
Yeah.
Like, we don't watch TV for like these people that don't have problems.
Right. And two.
So you could tell she was salty about the end, like Meredith not getting Nick and then the finale they did though. So.
Yeah. I also, like you had mentioned, like, well, why didn't you leave? And part of me would respect her more if she would come out in an interview like this and be like, the money was too fucking good to leave.
Yeah. And it was stable.
It was stable. The money was incredible. And she did kind of reference that people will hate you.
Yes.
Like, but like she's acting like, oh, I overstayed. It's like, well, then just acknowledge that you chose money over your creativity.
And when she says stuff like, I'm absolutely leaving Meredith Grey behind, I spent way too much time. I'm like, that, I get it. You're moving on. But like, it is crazy to me that you could spend that many years playing a character and not take any of it. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Even our fucking, like, I'm just thinking about the, I guess she wasn't that young when she started. That's a lot of child actors that I think like it shaped around a character. But even Katherine Heigl was talking about like that character is always kind of like a part. I don't know. I just think it's weird.
Yeah. I wonder in a couple years what Ellen Pompeo in reflecting and doing other work, if she would look back on this with fondness or like, but it's hard as a lover of Grey's Anatomy to like listen to interviews like that, because it makes you feel kind of dumb.
Yeah. When she says Grey's fans are so loyal, they'll follow along no matter what, like basically like even though it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, sure. But that's because we're like rooting for it to be good.
Yeah, because and I the one thing I did like about the interview is I feel like they did name some stuff in the earlier seasons that they felt storylines that Shonda was writing that were important and weren't really being shown on network television. So I think they did acknowledge that like it was a really important show. I just wish they would have ended it a while ago.
I know,
you know, because or maybe not even ended it, but Meredith just left. At this point, the show is still going, and we always thought, like, oh, it would end when Ellen leaves, and it hasn't. I wish she would have just left and not been so resentful the past couple of years and, like, not acted.
What's weird is I really hope that this new Hulu show that she's going to be a part of that they kind of mentioned, I want her to crush it. Like, I want her to be really good. Because, like, she was so good back in the day, and, like, I would like to almost be reassured that like, oh, I wasn't crazy. Like she just got sick of this show. Like I would like to see her thrive.
Yes, I agree. I really liked what Katherine Heigl was talking about with that scene with Denny and going to like a really, and she, I felt like she really opened up. I didn't know that. And she talked about her brother and how he passed. And she thought about that week at the hospital. And she's like, it was interesting that she was like, I don't know that I would ever do that again or want to go there for a character. And I liked Ellen's response of like, thank you for doing that, because that's a really meaningful storyline to her. Yeah. To our viewers.
And when I think back to that scene, like that, not even just the first time, anytime I watch it, it hits you so hard. And it's like, oh, because like they were really going somewhere. And like, it's just so believable. Her grief is so believable. I thought it was interesting too. Yeah. Like I know Meredith has mentioned that there are things she wouldn't do anymore, like mentally go to certain places. I think it was in a podcast, one of hers, maybe I'm making this up, but I feel like they were talking about Big Little Lies kind of.
I think she was talking about that to Kate, that off the rocker interview with Kate Walsh.
Yeah. And like, just how like, they couldn't, like, Meredith was like, I can't do that anymore. Like, and I do understand that. And I'm glad people are protecting their mental health, but there is something to, I wish there was a fine line, because the way Katherine Heigl acted that was so brilliant.
Yeah.
And it makes it more real when you think about like the experience she had.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting, the conversation about intimacy coordinators.
Yes.
Ellen was like, not for it. Like, I feel like she didn't. She doesn't know what they're training, or she kind of mentioned like what makes them qualified to do this versus Katherine Heigl, which I was glad she like stood up to it and kind of just said like, actually, it was brilliant for me. Like they, you know, this person became the bad guy for me. I didn't have to do that. And so I just thought it was an interesting, like, I'm glad she stood up for her opinion.
Well, because I also feel like Ellen Pompeo wasn't doing like intimacy. Well, okay. Here's what I feel like the issue is. And it goes back to that Kate Walsh interview too. It's like, Ellen Pompeo toes this line of like, things should be better for future people, but also I had to go through bullshit, so other people should also have to. Like, everyone's too.
They were talking about like young actors. Yeah. Kate Walsh one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and she contradicted herself so many times of like, and I felt that way when in the Katherine Heigl interview, when she was talking about the intimacy coordinator, is like, well, I didn't have one back in those days, so I don't understand why we need it. But also, like, I can't believe I would never do a scene like that again, you know? And it's like, well, that's how you do it now.
Right, right.
And it's like she, do you know what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, she just says things and then disagrees with herself and then agrees with herself.
But she thinks people of like, maybe our generation and younger are
getting it too easy, or like,
yeah, or don't have thick enough skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's confusing. I'm like, well, what do you want?
What do you want?
Yeah.
The Notebook. Great movie.
I found it interesting their talk about the time that Catherine left. Yeah. And they really danced around it.
Yeah, they did. They talked about, they just kept saying like, it was such a crazy time. So much was happening. I think they did. I went and re-listened to part of this. And then I went back because I kind of remembered the things that Katherine Heigl got like in trouble, quote unquotes, for when she left Grey's. And I'm just going to say the things because it helped me to get context. So in 2008, so the year before, so I guess 2007 maybe, Katherine won an Emmy for her performance on Grey's. Which I
thought she never won an Emmy.
This says, will you Google that?
Yeah.
Do you have my internet while I keep reading this?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, so it says, this is according to a Hello magazine article, but it says the year prior, Catherine had won an Emmy for her performance on Grey's, but made headlines ahead of the following year's awards when she decided not to submit her performance.
Yeah, so 2007.
Seven, she won.
Yep.
Okay, so then 2008, she and this is a quote from hers in a Howard Stern interview. She said, I didn't feel good about my performance, and there was a part of me that thought, because I had won the year before, that I needed juicy, dramatic, emotional material. At the time, I didn't think anyone would notice. I just quietly didn't submit, and then it became a story. So that was like the first thing.
Okay.
And then before exiting the show in 2010, that's when she called out the intense work hours. And this was on a late show with David Letterman. She said, she told the host, I'm going to keep saying this because I hope it embarrasses them, revealing that they were working up to 17 hours a day, which she described as, in quotes, cruel and mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's in 2014, 5 years later, there was a Hollywood Reporter interview with Shonda Rhimes, who said there are no Heigls in this situation. And she said, maintaining she has a no assholes policy. I don't put up with something or nasty people. I don't have time for it. And then like Katie, I'm her friend now, came back and basically was like, I'm sorry she feels that way. I watch Scandal. I love it. I think she's amazing. Maybe I'll be able to change her impression of me someday. So what I think it's like, Catherine Heigl was a little bit ahead of her times because now you can call out shit like that. And I mean, Ellen has done that.
Which I think Ellen was saying on that interview.
Yes. And Catherine Heigl said something like, I had a soapbox and a megaphone. Maybe it wasn't the right way to do it, but like, I still stand by everything I said. And I feel like maybe like Catherine Heigl initiated it. Ellen later down the line helped reinstate it, but it was just sad that the whole cast was quiet when that all happened.
Well, yeah, because I'm sure they were scared. I mean, yeah, she became a scapegoat, I think, and people were afraid to probably stand up. I'm not saying even to like with Shonda Rhimes, but just in general.
She was deemed like difficult to work with for years.
Well, I wonder if she was difficult to work with because she was like, this is bullshit. We're working 17-hour shifts.
Right, exactly.
You know, they did talk about that in the interview too, like standing over like real animal organs and
those crazy hours.
Late into the night and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, maybe that's why she was difficult to work with, because she didn't
for a reason
go along to get along. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know I thought it was, I really wanted them to bring up the like Alex ending up with Izzy.
Yeah.
I figured they wouldn't, but I was sad that it didn't get brought up.
Oh,
I would have loved her opinion on that.
Oh, that's really funny. I didn't even think about that. That is a bummer.
They brought up Justin Chambers, but in talking about him on The Offer, that Paramount show.
Yes. And they said he was like really great.
Yeah.
And then they brought up Denny. She like made a joke about the ghost sex.
Yep. I thought it was a little, which I, people can actually, I want to make sure I phrase this. People, you should parent however you should parent. It was interesting. It felt like they were judging each other's parenting.
Yes.
Because Ellen was saying she watches Grey's or watched it with her sixth grader. And Catherine was like, I would never. And then they mentioned like Euphoria, which like Ellen loves.
Yeah.
So she's obsessed with Zendaya.
Yeah.
Literally she talks about her all the time.
Yeah.
And Katherine Heigl was like, oh, I can't even watch that. Like, I don't. Yeah. And Meredith's like, well, your daughter's going to find out sometime. I thought it was a little like jabby.
I agree. They both, it's clear that maybe Katherine has like more family oriented.
Which she
viewing.
Doesn't even live in Hollywood. I'm pretty sure.
No, she lives like in not, the I desert.
She lives somewhere mountains. Nowhere near all of. So yeah. I bet there's just a totally different like situation.
Vibe. What other thoughts?
She worked with the deer again.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Probably not a lot of Hollywood deers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. I think.
But do they like train deer?
I don't know. I think the banter got better towards the end.
I agree. It felt really awkward in the beginning.
Which they all do. Did you see the beginning of the Elizabeth Olsen and, oh, I can't think of her name. She was in White Lotus.
I haven't watched any of the other
ones. They sit down and it is like palpable awkward. Like they're just two introverted people like having to have a conversation. And oh my God, it's so uncomfortable.
Okay. Good to know that they're just awkward conversation. Are they usually people that are connected in some way?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, so why?
I think this one they did.
Okay.
But like, no, there's like, they just did Jennifer Coolidge and, oh my God, from The Bear. He's like, Jeremy Allen White, yeah. Who have
okay.
But what a funny fucking interview that is.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah.
I did think Katherine Heigl's hair was gorgeous.
She's
like,
beautiful.
I and her little blue outfit. I know, slick
you
it back.
You need to get it slicked. Yeah, we need to do a style like that.
Yeah, I was like, I want to do my hair like that. Yeah. That is gorgeous. So I liked her outfit more than Ellen's. I'm sorry. I just
was
did.
Was Ellen wearing a drop waist? I didn't
She was wearing like a green pant.
Yeah, yeah.
They were both in like monochromatic.
The Variety TikTok account, you know, posts like clips from all of these essentially. And the one that they have pinned to the top of their page is from the two of them and has 5.2 million views.
That is.
Isn't that crazy?
So many views.
I didn't look at how many the YouTube has, but.
Clearly people wanted to see that. So also in the end, they said like, it's been like 8 years since they've seen each other.
Insane.
Yeah. But then they act. Oh, and then like they were talking about.
The baby shower?
Well, that. But they were talking about Catherine's mom loving Ellen. Like, oh, she just loves you. So I love your mom. She's so
great.
They were
so young when they started. Well, I mean, yeah. They were like 30. That's us. That's younger than me. So, yes, they were so.
So young.
But
so
I wonder if they're, you know, their families were more like at like premieres or things.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. But it was. I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. I don't have.
It wasn't as much as I wanted.
That I would agree. Like, there were parts that I thought were like insightful and enjoyable. I wish they would have spoken more directly about what specifically. I get why they didn't, but what specifically happened with Catherine and her leaving the show?
I know.
I really wish, like, it literally felt like a dance.
Do you think it was her
choice? I wonder if.
Or it was like a meeting and it was like, if you hate this, then let's have you leave.
Yeah.
Because it was such an abrupt leaving.
I don't know.
It was kind of like a Justin Chambers thing. Like, doesn't she disappear for a couple of episodes?
Yeah.
And they're just like, she's visiting, like, and then she just doesn't come back. And then she does.
She says, and then she says bye to Alex. And then she.
Yeah. I wish I would, you know, it's like you have these fantasies, like in my head, especially when I first watched the show, like her and Alex in real life are like friends. And you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it is baffling to me that two people can act so well together and have such beautiful chemistry, but then like, it's only on screen.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Ellen and Patrick Dempsey.
I know. Such good chemistry.
You want them to be together.
Meredith. I don't want that beach scene anymore.
That's chemistry.
I take it back. But yeah, I guess that I don't have much more to say about it.
Yeah, interested what other people thought of it. Other listeners thought. I feel like some people liked it, and some people were like, "This is total and complete bullshit."
I know that they have to be careful. I want there to be a world in which Grey's is done, and everyone can just spill
and say what they want to say.
Everything, because everyone is just being so safe.
Yeah,
Shonda's so powerful.
She is. She also seems like a really cool person.
I know.
Like on our interview with Armchair Expert, I'm like, she seems really cool. She's like an introvert. She doesn't like to be around people.
I wish she wasn't so disconnected from Grey's.
Yeah. But I get it too.
She fucking wants to write something else.
Something else at this point.
I wonder. Okay. I was a little thrown when Ellen mentioned that she is going to be in season 20, which. Okay, so that she did mention the Alzheimer's,
right.
Like the new information, which is we did verify because I know I asked that. Is this true? It is.
Yeah.
And so that is cool. I really like that they're bringing that into it. So I'm wondering now if Nick is going to be the way it made it sound is I bet you Nick goes to Boston.
Yeah.
And we once in a while check in on what they're up to.
Which is kind of like. It's fine, but it's also annoying that we had this big like Meredith last episode, and then it's like
not,
and it wasn't a good episode, and now So whatever.
Yeah, they should have marketed it just as like Maris' last day at Seattle Grace, which maybe they kind of did. And we just interpreted it
as, like,
as something bigger than it was.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Anyways.
Any other thoughts?
No, I just feel like my house isn't clean and I cleaned it.
It's a terrible feeling. As the person sitting in your house, it feels clean.
I feel like I need to hire and overpay to have like a team of people.
Do a deep clean?
Yeah, because I want the corners of underneath doors to be clean. And yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's not fun. It sucks.
Yeah. So my dog's been very well behaved.
Yeah, he did a good job today. Thanks, McCoy.
Love you.
Maybe he's deaf.
Oh, that would be great for him, actually. Yeah. Thank you so much for supporting us and listening. Please let us know your thoughts. Again, mystery. Don't know what we'll be up to next week.
Well, but we'll see you then.
Yeah, so thank you. Don't forget to go to our patron, patreon.com/theoncallroom. We love you. We thank you. And we have a time of death of 1417.
Beep.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.